Back Talk is an extension of the long-running, award-winning movie review show, It's Movie Time, which airs Fridays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM Columbus, Ohio. Produced and hosted by John DeSanto, this podcast features additional content and banter with guests. Back Talk is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
Oh, I love hearing that. I'm John DeSanto.
And I'm Mindy McFan.
And this is Back Talk. Now, Mindy.
Yes.
Besides being an artist, also, you work as an educator.
Yes, I am a restorative behavioral coach.
So it means you might come across 11-year-old autistic kids?
All the time.
Oh, no.
For 20 years.
Bingo. I hit it.
For 20 years.
Oh, my Lord. Well, we have a film today called Ezra.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in a low period for movies, so I'm pleased to find a movie engaging.
Mm-hmm.
Ezra's about a dad, Bobby Cannavale, mm-hmm. who tries to deal with having an autistic son.
He is a comedian, and he is divorced. He and his ex-wife are having a conflict over how their autistic son should be raised. The school the kid was going to wasn't appropriate for him, the school didn't think, so they wanted to send him to another school, and the two parents were arguing about that.
Yeah.
Father decided to take matters into his own hands.
And this dad just doesn't make good decisions, you think? Max, played by Bobby Cannavale.
No.
Rose Byrne does a fine job as the ex.
Yes, she does.
Mindy, I just have to say, it's like revealing something, but I think the major plot point here is that he kidnaps the kid and takes him across country.
I think since the guy who the story is really about wrote the screenplay, I am amazed what a good job he did making himself look like a hero.
Good point.
Because he wasn't a hero to me. No.
And this is typical, though, of the character, Max.
Yes.
He doesn't make good decisions.
No, he's I don't know how old he's supposed to be, late 40s, early 50s, man-child.
Yes.
He is terminally immature.
Oh, my Lord. At one point, I really like this story, but of course it's a setup for schmaltzy stuff,
mm-hmm.
which it does. And it's a setup for outrageous stuff happening.
He loses it when he doesn't get his way. He doesn't know how to, as an adult, have a conversation with somebody about something you disagree about. He just does whatever the heck he wants.
We have William A. Fitzgerald playing Ezra.
Yeah, he was wonderful.
And he is on the spectrum.
He was the best part of the movie, I think.
Oh, boy. I thought he was just charming. They seem to play that just right. That's Tony Goldwyn is the director.
Mm-hmm. And played the boyfriend of the mother.
Right. And he is the grandson of the Goldwyn.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Metro Golden Mare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I loved him on whatever the show he was on. He was the politician. I can't remember, but
okay,
I loved that show.
Help, but, I was impressed with him.
Yeah,
I'm
he's lovely.
With this job, too.
Lovely.
He's not the writer, but as you said, Tony Spiridakis is.
Yes.
Who has had the experience. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's my understanding.
So, Mindy, what's true about the depiction Ezra?
I mean, everything. Just the sensory overload, the discomfort with being touched, just his sensory reaction to different foods, all kinds of things. At least in my experience, everybody's different, but I wouldn't touch a kid who didn't want to be touched.
Right.
Because I wanted to touch them. I just wouldn't.
Yes.
Now, I in a therapy setting where you're trying to get the kid to get beyond that, that's one thing. But so much of it seemed, at least with the father, what he wanted to do was for him. Not for the child. I mean, most of the autistic kids I work with are fine. I mean, they have to adjust to different things, and people have to adjust to different things about them. But they're spectacular human beings because you get to be with somebody who's honest, and it's wonderful.
And that's a characteristic.
Oh, my gosh. I can't tell you how many autistic kids have told me I had coffee breath. But it's never done with malice. It's just a fact.
Okay.
They will tell you you're fat. They will tell you you have coffee breath. They will tell you your hair is weird. But they only say it as a fact. It's not.
Yeah.
It's no way meant to make you feel bad or anything. It's just truth.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And being around a human being who operates in truth, it is an absolute joy.
Aren't autistic kids also gifted in some way? Are they usually?
It just depends.
It just depends. Because I'm coming from Rain Man, of course.
Yeah, that's not normal. No, that's not normal. I mean, there's a kid I work with now who has a vocabulary that is massive, but I, you know, a lot of kids do. Okay. So, right. Yeah.
So how do you identify an autistic kid? You know, can you do that immediately?
It just depends because there's a spectrum. Usually parents start to notice something. I mean, some autistic kids are nonverbal forever. Some kids you wouldn't know. You might see they're a little quirky or something. It's all over the place. So usually a parent notices something or a doctor notices something. They started to talk later, walk later than what is considered normal and stuff. But, you know, they're just being a neurotypical person myself.
Yeah, I like that term.
Yeah.
There's neurodiverse, neurotypical.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We're all on some kind of spectrum. I was having this conversation with my daughter because so many people like to throw around their own personal diagnoses now for the littlest things. And everybody is a little ADHD and a little OCD and a little autistic. Yes. If it gets in the way of functioning in a relatively way in the world, that's when it's a problem.
Yes.
Other than that, I try to imagine it, and it's maybe harder for a man, but when your hormones are at their worst, which means the chemicals in your body aren't working right, or they are working in a different way, and you are being thrust into a place where there's too much light, too much sound, too much input, sensory import, it makes you feel like you're coming out of your skin. With an autistic person, that can be a constant feeling, pounding sensory stuff coming at you.
Right. We're told in the film autism from the Greeks, but meaning alone in your own world.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's this character. Talk to me a little bit. Not the star of this film, but billed as the star would always be Robert De Niro.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever he appears in a substantial role.
Right.
He's Max, that is the
grandpa.
Father. Yeah, he's the grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
What's his role in this film?
It's supposed to be the breadcrumbs that lead to why the father is the way he is.
Thank you. All right.
But we have a grandfather who was physically violent with his child, we find out.
Yes.
And we have a father who loses temper and is kidnapping his own child.
Uh-huh.
Yet the breadcrumbs lead to back to, if we're going to apply blame, seem to be the mother who left.
Yes.
And I thought that was real interesting how she got hung out with the blame, considering those two behavior. I'm guessing he wasn't just violent with his son. So maybe there's some backstory with mom, but it just seemed that, if she hadn't left, dad and son would have been just dandy.
They're in constant search of why mom left. Gee, why do you think?
I thought of 1,000 reasons course of watching the movie.
It's like it's a big revelation when you see how kooky dad and son are.
But moms aren't allowed to.
Yes, boy.
Just flat out aren't allowed
point.
To.
Yes. When De Niro has his moment, and he does have a moment where he apologizes.
Yes.
Does that seem real to you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, and unfortunately it took something catastrophic to make that happen.
Yes.
I think that is a very hard thing for people to do. It's a very vulnerable thing for a parent to do because you are just innately guilty when you're a parent, you know, about so many things that to try to say that to a child, taking the chance the child's going to go, you're right, you were horrible, is scary.
I really warmed up to it, of course, because it allows De Niro to show his chops.
Right. Yeah.
Because all of a sudden we're getting a couple of minutes by Robert De Niro.
Right.
He confesses to being distant to his son, abusive.
Yeah.
And we've seen evidence of that.
Yep.
He has lost much. Now he's a doorman.
Yep.
And so the role becomes crucial for understanding Max.
Absolutely.
Because, Mindy, isn't that the interesting thing about this film? It's not all about Ezra, the autistic child. It is about his dad.
Yes. But I sound judgmental, but yes, the grandpa Robert De Niro was an excuse for his behavior.
Right.
But I got to tell you, he was a grown man.
Mindy, this new dramedy, I don't know what to call it, a drama.
I think that's great. That's good.
Yeah.
I think that's
there are comedic moments.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and because people are a little bit wacky like Max the father.
Yes, absolutely. And he's a comedian.
Yeah, those sets, though. That we see him do?
Right.
Don't you think they're a little strange?
Well, he says he's more of a storyteller. We see him in a lot of bad sets where he's, again, reacting and not...
Yeah. One, he describes having found his inner self.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Who had a gun.
Yeah. He is into himself.
Right. One of the outrageous things about the film Ezra is that Dad, the Max, whose sets were not hilarious at all, as you said, they're more interior, has a chance of a spot on Jimmy Kimmel.
Yes. Yes. That was kind of the thread that was pulling him, that he had this shot at that. I don't know. To give him something to hope for. I don't know exactly what that was supposed to tell me about him, but yeah, that was kind of...
It allows them to have the cross-country trip. If Jimmy Kimmel couldn't afford to fly them out there, what was that about? Or where the kid couldn't fly?
No. The Kimmel people said they weren't going to fly him. I don't know, because I don't know enough about that kind of stuff.
Well, it doesn't make sense.
No, I wouldn't think so.
No,
who knows?
It does not.
It must have fit what they wanted to tell the story as.
So on this road trip, which for American films is always enlightening.
Right.
Always life-changing. Mm-hmm. What was important about this road trip?
Well, other than he kidnapped his son, I guess it was supposed to give moments with he and his son alone and him trying to connect with his son. Take an autistic kid and put them in a 500 different situations. It's so much more comfortable to be in the same situation because you always front load an autistic kid. Like, this is what's going to happen next. So they're not walking in blind.
Oh, good.
This entire trip, this child was being thrown into blind situations with people he didn't know, places he didn't know, smells, everything.
Thank you. That's great analysis, because I'm so uncomfortable with this road trip. I feel they didn't do what they should have done with this trip, and I couldn't quite figure out why. One of the elements is, yes, you're throwing this kid who's already vulnerable into situations that he has no preparation for. When you do, believe me, I think it is a trip worth depicting, because I don't think anything really good happens except for this, was it an old girlfriend?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Played by Vera Farmiga.
There had a moment where there was more of the little boy, and that was great.
Yes.
Where he meets this woman's child and that kind of stuff.
I mean, here's my tearful part, the part that I love. I'm schmaltzy when it comes to this stuff, and I know I'm going to get it in a movie like this. And when the boy meets the horse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought that was beautiful.
It's a real common therapy tool with autistic kids as a horse.
Wonderful, all right.
So it's nice. And the idea that he would like a girl, because he has like a mini crush on this little girl.
Yeah.
And he lets the little girl hug him, and he hugs her back.
Right.
That was lovely. The biggest problem for me in this movie, zero self-reflection of the father. Zero.
Father is an outrageous character.
Mm-hmm.
And almost unreal, except that he couldn't possibly navigate this world. He navigates it worse than a kid ever would think of doing.
He's just woefully immature.
Yeah.
And everything he does, no matter what he says or thinks, he does for himself.
You look at Ezra and you say, Ezra, good boy, you are surviving this.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Because Dad is wackier than you ever thought of being.
I mean, the kid was amazing. I mean, he ran the car into a tree. The kid bolted into the woods in the middle of the night. I mean,
one of the characters they meet is this guy played by Rainn Wilson. Remember
that's
the
right, yeah.
Wacky guy?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, what'd you take away from that?
That he liked being around other woefully immature men. That made him comfortable. So he went to a safe space. And the safe space was a guy who couldn't function as an adult in the regular world, so he went off and made a little camp. I'm not judging him. I mean, I don't mean that like it's a pejorative kind of thing.
Right.
That's the choice he made. He's not married, and he doesn't have a child.
Yes.
He's only responsible for himself, so I don't care what he does.
Right.
But it was clear that Dad found comfort there, because they were there 5 minutes, and he was drinking and getting high.
Yes, right. And this friend who's just... I love when Grandpa comes.
Yeah, that's great. I love that part, because he thinks he stole his pan.
This pan comes about 3 times in the film. I don't know what they're doing with this pan either. There's some wacky stuff about this movie.
Right.
You really have to settle back
and
accept it, because I think they have some really strange stuff going on.
Yeah.
I tried to pick out some movies about autism. There are many, mm-hmm. actually, out there. The first one I mentioned already in It's Movie Time, Rain Man. Comment again, though, that...
It's a little problematic, because that's what people think.
Yes.
They think all autistic people are savants that are able to do these incredible things, and you know, most of them are just kids.
Yeah, Dustin Hoffman plays him.
Uh-huh.
And he's
and that was kind of an introduction. People didn't know a lot.
But you're right. Everybody seems to think he's going to be a math savant.
Yeah.
And Tom Cruise, who is a car salesman, mm-hmm. poor car salesman.
Yes.
Always a target.
Yep.
Figures out something could be profitable, and his brother
is going to be profitable for him.
Exactly. The accountant with Ben Affleck. And he's a math savant. And I actually didn't grasp that at the time. I thought it was just a mystery.
Right.
Because he was cooking books for other people.
Right, yeah.
That was more of a, definitely a mainstream film. Then there was one years ago, I Am Sam, with Sean Penn and Dakota Fanning and Michelle Pfeiffer. An autistic man living independently and functioning well in the real world until his life changes drastically when he becomes a father and is left to care for his small child. And then finally, one that everybody's heard of, I'm not sure everybody's seen, way back in 93, What's Eating Gilbert Grape? And this was with Johnny Depp.
Yes.
And Leonardo DiCaprio. And DiCaprio playing the autistic brother.
Leonardo DiCaprio is the disabled person.
Oh, okay, good. Then he is the most interesting person in the whole thing. So there are many out there if you're interested. I thought we might end up our discussion by talking a little bit about Robert De Niro, mm-hmm. which has nothing to do with autism. Just got a message from him about Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And we know he feels strongly about Trump.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
And I got to love him for it.
Yeah.
Because he gets right out there.
Yes,
and
he does.
He says, please don't allow this man to become president. It has to be somebody of De Niro's stature as an actor to be able to do that and directly come through campaign.
What does he care at this point?
Oh, I know he doesn't.
I mean,
I know he's 80 years old.
Yeah.
He's still going strong.
He looks fantastic. He does. He is in great.
And I'd seen recent photos of him that weren't as flattering. Now, makeup's going to do some of that for us. But yeah, I thought he was in really good form.
Absolutely.
In so many different ways. Yeah, and looking at his filmography, I'm saying, is one of our premier actors.
Yes, he is.
And when he started back in 73 with Mean Streets,
mm-hmm.
he actually wasn't in the first Godfather. It was the Godfather Part 2. And he did some strange ones like The King of Comedy, which I really liked.
Yeah, that was a really good one.
Wasn't that good?
Yes.
Was it the one with Jerry Lewis?
Yes.
Oh, I thought that was excellent.
Yeah.
Most people don't know that. That was
it was very good.
82.
And I don't like Jerry Lewis, but it was good.
I know, again, thank you, because I thought, wow. You know, because I've watched Jerry Lewis's telethons and I can't endure them.
Right.
But this, I thought he was actually
I absolutely agree. I was stunned when I saw the movie.
One of his most famous ones would be in 99 with Goodfellas.
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
And Scorsese loves him too.
Yeah, that's a beautiful movie.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, the cinematography alone is gorgeous in that.
Everything about it, it's a very intimate, creepy, intimate movie.
Yeah, and more recently he was in Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah. Yes, he was.
What shall I say? I thought he acted better in this one, in Ezra, than in Killers. And he was very good in Killers.
Right.
I mean, when is he not good?
Just lovely.
But he was a heavy in Killers of the Flower Moon.
He sure was. He was despicable.
Yeah, and he did a good job, didn't he?
Yes, he did. I hated him.
I know it. And you could see how he was the king of that town.
Yes, and then just no morals. None. Zero. Right.
Oh, one where I think he won the Oscar. This would be Raging Bull in 80.
I think so.
Yeah. Now, there's a magnificent performance.
Yeah, absolutely. That's another movie that is beautiful. One, it's very violent.
Yes.
But just the cinematography is so artistically done that you're drawn into watching it, even though as you're repulsed by it.
Yeah. And it's one that not everybody has seen, but people who have seen remember it is The Deer Hunter in 78.
I had to go into the lobby and put my head between my knees when I saw that movie because I started to get sick to my stomach. Yeah.
Oh, my.
That movie blew. That really, woof.
Yeah.
That's one I couldn't see twice.
Yeah, Deer Hunter. And the only other one that I've mentioned, and he's done so many, because he's even gotten into some comedy recently, is Meet the Fockers.
Yeah.
Meet the Parents.
That must have been fun for him.
Yeah, you know, there you go.
Right.
What kind of an actor is he? He's an actor who can play comedy. The Irishman was big.
Yes. And I'm from Cleveland, so I was very curious about that.
Good one.
Where is Hoffa? I loved him in Silver Linings Playbook.
Oh, thank you.
I loved him in that movie.
Yeah.
I thought that was beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
And one where you can, you judge him against everything else he does in his career, for me, is Taxi Driver.
Yeah.
Way back in 76.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think there are scenes.
He's just a kid.
But there are scenes there that are unforgettable. Mm-hmm. There are scenes that are used innumerable times.
Yeah, quoted forever.
Hey, you talking to me?
Forever.
You know, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. How do you find that moment where, yes, you are a brilliant actor?
Well, just like he has nothing to lose now, he had nothing to lose then either.
All right, Mindy McFan, we have talked about Ezra.
Yes.
Somehow my intuition told me that you would be perfect for this. And you were better than perfect, and I knew you would be have some experience with autistic kids. I didn't realize how extensive, but I'm very happy for that. And I think we've left people with the notion that Ezra is a movie worth seeing if you can accept all of its imperfections. And
if you're not mad at an ex-husband currently, I say go see it. But if you are, probably not.